Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hearing this invitation, Madhavendra Puri came out and identified himself. The priest then delivered the pot of sweet rice and offered him his obeisances, falling flat before him. Purport: a Brahmana is not supposed to offer his obeisances by falling flat before anyone, because a Brahmana is considered to be in the highest caste. However, when a Brahmana sees a devotee, he offers his dandavats. This Brahmin priest did not ask Madhavendra Puri whether he was a Brahmana, but when he saw that Madhavendra Puri was such a bona fide devotee that Krishna would even steal for him, he immediately understood the position of a saint, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kene nai vekrit. Krishna Tattvavetta Se Guru Hai. Had the Brahmana priest been an ordinary Brahmana, Gopinath would not have talked with him in a dream, since the deity spoke to both Madhavendra Puri and the Brahmana priest in dreams. Practically speaking, they were on the same platform. However, because Madhavendra Puri was a senior sannyasi Vaishnava, a Paramahamsa, the priest immediately fell flat before him and offered obeisances. Omagyanti mirandasya giranjana shalakaya chaksharan militam yana tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam stapitam yena butale svayam rupa kadam mayam dadati svapanantikam manchakalpatarubhyascha kripa santu bevacha patitanam pavanepya vaishnavepyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutai Mahat Prema Puro Vibhur Nirmai Kshati Adamusha Purusha Vungte Gunan Sudasa Sudasmakalam Krishna Mangamana Chamsime Eta Shani Puri Gosani Parichaya Dila Kshira Diya Pujari Tandre Dandavat Haila. Hearing this invitation, Madhavendra Puri came out and identified himself. The priest then delivered the pot of sweet rice and offered him his obeisances, falling flat before him. This is very sweet pastime. How Gopinath stole sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri, and even more sweet are the relationship between Madhavendra Puri and the anonymous pujari. Very interesting. We never learned the name of this great Vaishnava whom Krishna talked to in a dream. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Shri Sitaram, Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. And this is very significant. Actually, this single episode changed forever the status of the temple, right? And even the name of the deity got changed from that point onward. And it's really amazing that Madhavendra Puri had this relationship with the deities, as we learn, with Gopal, with Gopinath, actually two very prominent deities are forever connected with him in the history of the world. And this pujari who spoke to the deities, to the Gopinath deity as well, and how Gopinath actually stolen this sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri, and how later on we will learn, after Madhavendra Puri acquired that sandalwood, and Gopal, just to relieve him from the trouble of carrying this whole load back to Govardhan, he said, just give it to Gopinath and let, you know, them use that paste for Gopinath. I'll feel relieved from the heat. Just if you apply this sandal paste on Gopinath. So it's really amazing how pure devotee is only thinking of the Lord, and the Lord is only thinking of his pure devotee. And this is an illustration to what Bhagavad Gita explains, 4.11, yathamam prapadyante tamstata bhajamyaham, that as they surrender unto me, so I reward them accordingly. And so we can understand that this is very high level. Ananyas chintayanto mam yajana pariupasate, that those who have unflinching devotion towards me and never deviated to anything or anyone else, I give them what they lack, and I preserve what they have, right? Yogakshemam vahamyaham, Krishna says, I give them yogakshema, yogic protection, and I personally carry for them whatever they need. So we can see how Gopinath is sending sweet rice just because Madhavendra Puri had this desire. And this is the position of a pure devotee. Pure devotee lives like under the desire tree. Whatever pure devotee, Prabhupada explains, doesn't have any personal desires except the desire to satisfy the Lord. But if by any chance pure devotee desires anything, Krishna just jumps forward and fulfills that desire in no time. And I mean, we can see that in the history of ancient history of Vaishnavism, and we can see that in the modern history of Vaishnavism, right? Srila Prabhupada, so many stories. And Srila Prabhupada trained so many wonderful Vaishnavas who are carrying on the movement at the moment, and it's quite amazing how Krishna is fulfilling the desires of his pure devotees who totally dedicated their lives for his service. I mean, when I traveled with my spiritual master, I've seen that so many times, and it's true to in relation to any of them, any of those stalwart devotees. Sometimes it's even funny how it is happening. One servant of Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj narrated one interesting pastime. When Maharaj was supposed to fly to Russia, and he wanted a direct flight to one city, but it was not available, international flight. I think, you know, it's kind of smaller city and no international flights went there. So they had to go via Moscow. And Maharaj complained, you know, we have to fly all the way to Moscow and then drive like 4 or 5 hours to that city. So he said, somehow or other, we should fly there directly. But the servant said, I'm very sorry, Guru Maharaj, but, you know, direct flights are not available. But Maharaj was obviously not very happy with that arrangement. And so when the flight was kind of on its way to Moscow, something happened, and then the announcement came in the cabin that we're very sorry, but there is some technical problem with the plane, and we have to make an emergency landing in that very city where Maharaj was supposed to go. And they've landed there. And, you know, the whole crew was so apologetic, you know, we're very sorry, we have to fix that problem, and you'll have to wait. And Maharaj said, can we just pick our luggage and go? And the crew said, yes, yes, of course, you can. And so they arranged for the luggage. And so Maharaj just turned up in that place without having to, you know, do any detours. So there are so many of these episodes in ancient history of Vaishnavism and in the modern history of Vaishnavism also. Sometimes people, they just cannot believe it. I don't know, probably few of you have read the diary of the traveling monk by Indra Dyumnaswamy. And many people, they are even like saying that, how this is possible that so many miracles keep happening to the same person again, again, and again. Because mostly people, even including many devotees, they just live, you know, kind of same type of life with not much of miracles. But it is very much depending on the level of surrender. And so if one is surrendered, then Krishna reciprocates in many wonderful ways. He was not just reciprocating before. He still reciprocates with anyone who is fully surrendered unto him. This is really wonderful, and this is really inspiring to know that such levels of devotion do exist. And such sweet exchange between the pure devotees like Madhavendra Puri and this anonymous but celebrated pujari. And it's very interesting to note that Madhavendra Puri was coming from Madhvacharya line. He belonged to Madhvacharya line. And Madhvacharya followers are known as Tattvavadis. So he belonged to that Tattvavadi community, followers of Madhvacharya. And fast-forwarding few chapters later, in the 9th chapter of the same Madhya Leela, we can read or hear how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his tours to South India, came across the headquarters of the Madhva Sampradaya, which is situated in Udupi. And he saw that very deity of Gopal discovered and established by Srila Madhavendra, Madhvacharya. And so, you know, this is the headquarters of his own parampara, right? And this is the main deity. And so he was like so ecstatic. And it says, Krishna Murti Dekhi Brabhu Maha Sukha Paila Prema Veshi Bahu Kshana Nritya Gita Kaila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received great pleasure in seeing this beautiful form of Gopal. For a long time he danced and chanted in ecstatic love. I mean, anyone who's been to Udupi? Anyone's been to Udupi? Okay. Few devotees, not too many. But this deity of Gopal is totally mesmerizing. I mean, just, you know, he looks so special. First of all, you can see that this is really, really small boy. And second, you know, he seems to be like really bashful, as if he's like even kind of embarrassed to be seen by so many people, having so much attention from so many people. And so, a very sweet deity, amazingly sweet deity, if anyone would have chance to visit Udupi. It's an amazing darshan. And so, yeah. Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy, dancing and chanting in front of Gopal. But then, how did his spiritual family members, right, Tattvavadis, responded to seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So text 250 says, Tattvavadi gana Prabhu ke mayavadi jane, prathama darshane Prabhu ke nakaila sambasane. When they first saw him, the Tattvavadi Vaishnavas considered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a mayavadi sannyasi. Therefore, they didn't talk to him. So they ignored him. This is how his own spiritual family members responded to him. Pache prema veshe deki haila chamatkar Vaishnava jane bahuta karila satkar. Later, after seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in ecstatic love, they were struck with wonder. Then, considering him a Vaishnava, they gave him a nice reception. Vaishnavata savara antara garva jani ishat hasiya kichu kahe gauramani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the Tattvavadis were very proud of their Vaishnavism. He therefore smiled and began to speak to them. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes very humble position, and he, you know, after they finally gave him some attention, he humbly asked, could you please enlighten me? I'm ignorant visitor of the temple. What is the goal of life and what is the method of achieving that goal? So basically he's asking about sadhana and sadhya. And then what the leader of Tattvavadis tells him, what is the sadhana? Varnashram dharma. And what is sadhya? Liberation of five types, right? Of course, going back to Godhead, but liberation, right? That's the main thing. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to object. He said, no, according to Shastra, both sadhana is different and sadhya is different. Sadhana is Navavida Bhakti, and sadhya, or the goal, is love of Krishna, Krishna Prema. So we can see that it's very interesting that the difference between the attitudes. You know, here we have in this description a simple brahmana, and he doesn't even know who Madhavendra Puri is, but then he's treating him with such an utter humility and respect. And here the top level of Vaishnavas belonging to Madhva Sampradaya, and they're totally proud and totally deviant from the original purpose of Vaishnavism. It's very interesting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he takes sannyas in Mayavad school and he displays the topmost level of Vaishnavism, gives example of topmost level of Vaishnavism. And here we have supposedly top level Vaishnavas who are interested in liberation, something Mayavadis are interested in, right? Or impersonalists interested in. So it's very interesting. And these kind of examples are not very uncommon for bhakti scriptures, right? Bhagavatam, we see so many examples of people who are supposed to be Vaishnavas, but they behave no better than demons. And then those who are officially demons, they turn out to be pure Vaishnavas. Anyone remembers any episode from Bhagavatam like that? That Vaishnava behaves like demon, and demon is a pure Vaishnava. Huh? Bali Maharaj, there is another one? Yes, that's classical, right? And this is Canto 6, the heart of the Bhagavatam, the central canto of the Bhagavatam, which glorifies the nature of the holy name and pure devotional service. And then one of the purest devotees exemplified in the sixth canto is a classical demon, Vritrasura, right? But then Indra is so attached to his name, fame, and wealth and opulence that he behaves like demon, kills brahmanas. I mean, that's, you know, talking about offensive behavior. Hard to imagine more offensive behavior than resort to killing brahmanas just because, you know, they pose some threat to my position, etc. So that's very interesting. And what does it teach us? What it helps us to understand about Krishna consciousness? Because many times we think in a straight line, okay, positions, names and all these, this is how you define who is Vaishnava, who is not Vaishnava. But what do these examples teach us? Yeah. Sadachar, yes. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Vaishnava behavior is the ornament of a Vaishnava, right? And I suppose Sutta Paprabhu even knows the Bengali verse for this because he knows tons of Bengali verses. Okay. So what else do we learn from these examples from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Because this is a very important principle which is exemplified throughout the entire Bhakti scriptures. What is the greatest danger on the path of devotional service? And then how, and if we answer that question, we will understand how do we get there, how do we become, if not these type of devotees, at least we can become closer to that type of devotees whom Krishna is making such special arrangements, whom Krishna is personally involving in his direct pastimes. Anyone wants to take part in the direct pastimes of the Lord? Okay. So let's analyze then. What is the greatest obstacle and how do we overcome it to enter into the Lord's pastimes? Offenses? And more specifically? Pride, yes. Pride is the greatest obstacle. Actually, what is the most important Shikshashtakam verse Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was stressing? Trinada pisa nichana, tarora pisa hishnuna, amanina manadana kirtanya sadahari. Three things which are so important for our spiritual advancement: humility, tolerance, and respect. And what is the first and foremost demoniac quality? Dambha, right? When Krishna is listing demoniac qualities in the fourth verse of the 16th chapter, that's Dambha, right? Pride. And then it goes on from there. Dambha, Dambho, Vimanascha, pride, arrogance, deceit, cruelty, ignorance. These are all demoniac qualities. So pride comes first. I'm very special. And it's very interesting that if we read the scriptures, it's very easy to understand that it's such a tricky thing, right? That a little bit later, as description will go, it will be described that Madhavendra Puri, he didn't want to stay in that place after he received so much mercy from the Lord. But then he realized that after people will learn about it, they will start glorifying him and they will start worship him. And he left that place immediately. He went back to Rimuna. Actually, it says that he fled. He fled from Rimuna, being afraid of his reputation, Pratishtha. This is very interesting that Prabhupada explains that this is Vaishnava behavior, but then sometimes a sahajya presents himself as being void of desires for reputation, pratishtha, in order to become famous as a humble man. So that's really confusing, right? You should avoid being humble, but when you are humble, you can also become very proud of your humility. It's such a tricky thing, right? Pride, that it can creep in from any sides. Just look for a little crack. And this is the first and foremost thing Maya is using, right? To take us away from devotees' association. First, Maya will highlight, Maya will tick the boxes of our achievements and will say, look, you're so amazing. You're such a great Vaishnava. And what a great Vaishnava like you is doing amongst, these very strange people. Look at them. They have so many faults, right? And you have only nice qualities. And so basically, these people, they don't deserve your association. Right, so leave the association of devotees. And why don't they deserve your association? Because they don't really appreciate you. They don't they just undermine your greatness. So you should teach them a lesson by depriving them of your divine association. Things like that. So it's a big challenge how to get over it, right? How to become free from pride, but not to become artificially humble and become, behave humbly and inside feel very proud. Oh, I'm so humble. Look, no one is as humble as me. I'm an absolute humility world champion, right? No one has chances to compete with me in humility, right? So, which is again a defeat. And so this is very difficult situation. And instead of talking too much, I wanted to invite devotees to share your experiences, what works, what doesn't work, because I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one in here who recognizes this obstacle and who is thinking how to get rid of it. And so let's see what works, what doesn't work. First of all, let's see how many of you face this challenge and how many of you struggle to overcome it. Okay, practically unanimous, good. Okay, so anyone wants to share your experience, what works for you, what doesn't work for you? I also want to learn a few new things for myself, taking advantage of your association. Okay, you can give Tarun Prabhu microphone, let him share.
Nothing works.
Nothing works. Hopeless situation. Okay. Everyone agrees? Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmana Namah. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So you can see the deities are smiling. So they want to have some fun. listening to your comments.
I'm reciting prayers works.
Okay. Making, offering our prayers that works. What kind of prayers?
Well, prayers of the acharyas.
Okay.
When you're in a difficult, sticky situation, you pray to Krishna, then you come out of that difficulty.
Very good, yeah. I think there is one wonderful prayer in Nectar of Devotion, mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, Dainyava Bodhika, that this prayer says, "Oh my Lord, there is no one who is more fallen than me. There is no one more unfortunate than me. I'm even ashamed to come in front of you, but because you are the savior of the fallen," something like that. "Please give me your mercy." Yeah. Sutta Prabhu? Okay, Tarun first and then Sutta.
What works for me for some time is when I'm beaten up by reaction and I feel very humble for a few days, and then I forget, I promise I'll never do this again, and then another situation, different persons, I do the same, and again, and again, and again. And I get beaten up again. And over many, many, many years, a little bit is better, that's all. Sorry. There's a hope.
Okay, Krishna is beating us in shape to prepare us for the spiritual world. That's Krishna's mercy.
Well, I was just thinking that sometimes if we just... sometimes we hear this terminology, take the humble position. So sometimes it's difficult to deal with the intangible, but if we deal with the tangible and in every situation try to act in the mood of a servant or take the position of being a servant. Like they say, you can't always think yourself into a new way of acting, but sometimes it's easier to act yourself into a new way of thinking. So that doesn't mean we don't do the internal work to try and become humble, but sometimes I think just taking the position. But sometimes we're so proud that we don't even take the position because we convince ourselves like, well, I'm not going to do it because I don't really feel like that anyway. And then we don't even take the humble position. So maybe if we can just focus on taking the humble position, the tangible helps with the intangible.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Guru Krishna Prabhu.
We have to find those devotees who are humble. And we may find them in different places, unlikely places. They're really humble people, and associate with them. And with a bit of luck, some of that will rub off on us.
Yeah, that definitely works for myself. Associating with devotees who are genuinely humble makes you also very humble. Does it work for others? Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Anyone else? Any ladies? Okay. Can you please pass this on to Kishori?
Hare Krishna. I was thinking that maybe, not for everyone, but for some people to remember where they came from or where they were before and where they are now, and trying to remember that actually we're only here because of the mercy of others and other devotees. So just maybe sometimes trying to remind ourselves where we were before maybe could help.
Okay, yeah. Remembering, especially for those who come from Western backgrounds, how many cows I ate before I became a devotee, right, etc. cow is the mother, so how many of my mothers I ate? It's an interesting concept. Of course, those who come from pious backgrounds, Indian, Gujarati especially, you're more lucky.
Yeah. What I find is that Radhanath Swami, he said once, gratitude comes when we feel like we've been given something we don't deserve. So it's like, he said, just be grateful, and then naturally it will, yeah, we'll just become humble.
Okay, feeling of gratitude naturally contributes to humility. That's a good one, yeah. And yeah, pride means, what am I still lacking, right? Materially. What should I still achieve, right? But gratitude means thinking of what I've got already from Krishna and how should I reciprocate with Krishna for all his mercy. Please.
Being humble is to be loyal to Guru and Krishna. Other things are not so much important. If you are loyal to Guru and Krishna, because what is the main shloka of the Gita? The last one, yeah? That abandon all religions and just surrender unto me, and I will save you from all reactions from the sinful activities. So, being humble to be loyal. This is how I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, thinking of Guru and Krishna, and of course Vaishnavas as well. Because pride means thinking of I and mine, right? I, me, mine. Always have this meditation. I was thinking that in the same way as we have three words in Maha Mantra, right? In different combinations, Hare Krishna, Rama. So our mind also has his own mantra, which he was born with. And that mantra, internal mantra, also consists of three words. Not necessarily that he is chanting that mantra. In the same way, mind is very creative, but the three words are the same. I, me, mine. I, me, me, mine, mine, etc. always thinking, you know, I am so great and so it's all mine and, you know, what else others can do for me. Yeah. And yeah, actually, this is the reason why chanting Hare Krishna is so difficult, right? Because it destroys that mental mantra, I, me, mine, right? It moves us away from being the center of the universe and establishes Krishna in there. And the mind doesn't like it. So yeah, thinking of Guru Krishna and Vaishnavas instead of thinking of ourselves definitely helps us to become free from false pride. Mohan, or any other ladies? Okay. I think it's off. The microphone became humble.
Contentment, I think.
Contentment, okay. Yeah. Of course, it's easier to say than do. Be content.
I think one thing that helped me is, you see, oftentimes when we're in a temple, devotees like to glorify us and, you know, tell us about our good qualities. But when you're in book distribution, that really humbles you. Because, you know, people don't really care whether you're a devotee or a non-devotee. People don't really care what you're practicing. They just see you as you. And so that means sometimes you try and give something so amazing to someone, and then they're just like, can you stop wasting my time and go get a job?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Definitely. Book distribution can be a very humbling experience. I was actually distributing books. No, I was traveling with my spiritual master, and in one particular location, you know, because he was encouraging me to distribute books whenever, you know, we would do Harinam and people would stand and watch. And so he was conducting Harinam with Sri Prahlad, And I took a few books and I decided to offer them to the people. And I was not like champion or anything, but I could distribute a decent amount of books. And so I decided to show him how good of a book distributor I am. And so I went to the first person. And, you know, it's normally it was quite easy. If someone's already like watching Harinam, means they're kind of interested in Krishna consciousness. So it's much easier to distribute books in this particular situation. And I approached the person and I told him, you know, here are the books, Hare Krishna books. If you like to take some, give a little donation. And that person would not even look at me. And it was so kind of humiliating. You know, like someone would ignore you bluntly, you know, would not like even look at you. And I was like thinking, what's happening? And I kept like talking to that man. And without looking at me, he said, don't you understand? I have no interest. Go away. So I was crushed. Anyway, I decided not to give up. Approached the second person. Same kind of response. Third person, same kind of response. I was devastated. And I was, you know, I felt so kind of hurt inside, right? That I was going to put the books back and never touch them again during Harinam at least. And I was passing by my Guru Maharaj and I told, you know, very strange people in this town. No one's interested in our books. And, you know, he's taller than me. So he looked down at me and he said, it all depends on your desire. And this was like, you know, adding salt, you know, adding insult to injury, right? In Russia we say, putting salt on the wound, right? Adding insult to injury. So I was thinking, oh my God, you know, people don't take books and my spiritual master doubts that I had a desire to distribute books. What is this? And I was thinking what to do. And I decided, okay, let me try a few more times. Then he will see that it has nothing to do with my desire. It's actually people's fault, right? And then I went to the first person standing nearby. And my mantra was something like, you're not interested in books, in these books, right? Because, you know, this was my expectation. And the man, he took all the books from my hands, whole set. He said, I am actually interested in these books. But I told him, I think you misunderstood. We're not giving out these books for free. We're asking people for donation. He said, no problem, I can give you a donation. I told him, but, you know, if you want all these books, that's going to cost you quite a bit. You know, trying to talk him out of it. You know, because this mental paradigm, you know, I just couldn't get over it. That people not supposed to take books in here, and suddenly he's taking books. What happened? And then he said, I can give you any donation you want. Do I look like a poor man? I said, okay, I charged him anything, you know, double, triple amount. And he said, no problem. And he paid, and he said, whatever is extra is for you. So I was like, wow, what happened? Then second, third person, every single person was taking books. And for me, it was like, wow, a miracle happened, right? My guru blessed me. And so now it is happening. But then, you know, in retrospect, it's so crystal clear that I was so arrogant in the beginning, right? And people could sense that. I mean, people might not know the philosophy. They might know not chant mantra or whatever. But they're not fools. And they can actually see where we're at, right? And so, yeah, after I was crushed, and then I've developed real humility, at least to some extent, at least for that particular moment of time, and then Krishna reciprocated very wonderfully. Yeah, book distribution, ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
The humblest devotee at the Bhaktivedanta Manor.
I think that we shouldn't measure our own humility, that we shouldn't put a gauge on our own humility. In terms of we shouldn't say now I've become humble, or you know that we have reached that we shouldn't try and gauge that we've reached a state of humility, but just to try and have an attitude of cultivating humility. Please accept my humble obeisances. We're saying that we're humble ourselves, rather than just saying offering our obeisances.
Okay. So we should not try to evaluate our humility, right? Yes. Good. Yes. There is no limit to perfection. How humble we can become, huh? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's actually interesting, right? That as soon as I think I am humble, that means I'm already proud of my humility, right? That means as soon as I... It's very interesting, right, that anyone had this experience, your japa is really good and you just absorbed in the holy name. But as soon as you think, wow, my japa is so nice, immediately you just fall out of it. Right? Anyone had this experience? Yeah, so it's the same thing with humility. Very interesting. As soon as I think I'm humble, I'm not humble anymore. Sam?
Bhaktivinoda says the same thing in one of his bhajans. In Kripa Kora Vaishnav Thakur, he says, if I think I'm a Vaishnav, then I will never become humble. My heart will become contaminated with the hope of receiving honor from others, and I will surely go to hell.
Amazing. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs are so deep. Yeah, I was thinking that in terms of associating, like Gaura Krishna Prabhu said, with humble Vaishnavas, I mean, association with Bhaktivinoda Thakur is still available for all of us. And he's sharing his heart through his bhajan. So yeah, it's really a good thing to meditate on those bhajans of this great Acharya. Okay, Nishkinchan Prabhu, and I think we still have time, right? Oh, okay. 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 Anyway.
A quote by a senior Vaishnav that humility means not thinking less of yourself, but thinking less of yourself.
Right, yeah. Srila Radhanath Swami Ki Jai. Yes. Yeah, think of ourselves, think less of ourselves, yeah. Yes, thank you. All right, so we'll finish here. Thank you all very much for your enthusiastic contribution. And please bless me so that I could live up to being a little bit more humble as a result of this discussion. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande.